Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for Jesus. And thank you, Jesus, for coming.
Hallelujah, Lord.
You are the express image of our Father. We're here just for you. For whatever you have in mind, that's what we're here for, Lord. We're here for you. Whatever you want, Jesus, that's what we want today. We love you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We exalt you. We magnify you. You're glorious, King, and you're worthy. You're worthy of all the glory, all the praise. We love you so very much. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your compassion, your mercy, your forgiveness, your grace. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Worthy is your name.
Thank you, Lord. We're here to worship you. To him who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb be blessing and glory and honor and power and praise. We worship you. We extol you. You are high and lifted up, and your glory fills this house. Your glory fills this house, Jesus. We exalt you. We worship you. We praise you. Holy Lord, Holy Lord, we worship you. We love you, Jesus. We love you. We love you.
We
adore
you.
We want you, Jesus. We want you, Lord. We want you more. All you have to give, Lord, we want it, Jesus. Pour yourself out on us, Lord, and in us and through us. Consume us, Lord Jesus. Consume us. Take our whole lives over, Lord. Take our lives over. Take control, Jesus. Take control, Lord. We give you the reins. We want you to take control, Lord Jesus.
We magnify you, Lord.
Glory to you. Glory to you. Glory to you. You are the worthy one.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Father.
We exalt you, Holy Jesus. We exalt you.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Oh, we love you so much.
Hallelujah, Father.
We bless your name.
Worship you, Father.
Yes, Lord.
We exalt you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
We pour our love on you, Jesus.
We worship you.
We pour our love on you, Lord Jesus.
Father, we lift up
our hearts. We love you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus.
Pour your love and your spirit, Lord, and your forgiveness on us, Lord Jesus.
We love you so very much, Jesus.
Hallelujah, Father.
We love you.
We magnify
you. We live just for you, Lord. We live to know you, Jesus. We're here for you, Lord.
Glory and honor to you, Father.
There's no place we'd rather be but in your presence, Jesus. In your glory, Lord. Wrapped up in your love, Jesus.
We worship you, Father.
We worship you, Lord Jesus. We worship you.
We magnify and exalt you, Lord.
I want you to listen to what the Holy Ghost of God is saying this morning. This comes from the Logos, but it's Rhema. It is the sword of the Spirit. It's a prophetic psalm to us this morning. How do you know that? I know it by my spirit. I know He's saying that to me. And for the last 3 weeks, this is where I've been. I haven't been able to get off of it. I've been here far more than any other place. In fact, I go and then to come, I have to stay here. Listen to what David said. And this is to you this morning. This is to the house. In Psalms 18, he says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. He starts out in worship. The Lord is my rock. Can everybody say, He is my rock? My fortress, he says eight things here. My fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. Hallelujah. That's pretty inclusive there. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Hallelujah. He's prophesying this morning that whatever was is broken in Jesus' name. And we're about to receive the dividends. Hallelujah. We're on the other side of something. Did you hear what I said? We're on the other side of something. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise God. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of the ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me. How many have ever felt that? The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. Whew! I can't hardly get it out. It's too strong. I cried upon my God, and He heard my voice out of His holy temple. And my cry came before Him unto His ears. Now listen to what Daddy God does. Because he's so in love with you, the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken because he was angry. Who was he angry at? Your enemy? There went up smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth, and devouring coals were kindled. He bowed down the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. He rode upon a cherub. I'd like to see that. Hallelujah. And he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place, and his pavilion around about him were dark waters and thick clouds in the sky. Listen to this ominous. I mean, absolutely, this is who we serve. He's not a weak God. He knows how to deliver you. Hallelujah. The Lord also thundered. Now is the time we need to hear the thunderings of the Lord. We need to hear, because he is thundering out of heaven, we need to hear his thunder as it begins to split your enemy and drive him out of your life, whatever that is. Hallelujah. The highest gave his voice, and hailstones and fire, coals of fire. Yes, he sent out his arrows and he scattered them. He shot out lightnings and discomforted them. Hallelujah. Would you say with me this morning, I say that no matter what's been encamped against me, that the lightnings of God, that is the word of God, is in my mouth. And I speak this against you. In the name of Jesus, be scattered by the lightnings of God. Hallelujah. Then the channels of waters were seen. This is how far it goes down. The foundations of the world were discovered at his rebuke. O Lord, at thy blast of thy breath of thy nostrils, he sent from above. He took me out of and drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from him which hated me, from they that were too strong for me. How many have ever heard in the distance, you're not going to get through this? I'm way too powerful. You're just going, it's going to get worse and worse and worse. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth into a large place, and he delivered me because he delighted in me. Hallelujah. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness and according to the cleanliness of my hands. He has recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and I have not wickedly departed from my God. For all of his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also upright before him, and I've kept myself from my iniquities. Listen, Lord, you own all of me. No more excuses. No more saying, I can't hear God in that area. God, it's an open heaven. You own all of me. I mean, right down to the things that I could make excuses for and say, oh, I never heard that. Oh, yes, I did hear that. I've been hearing him say change there for 2 years. Hallelujah. And now I say, yes, Lord, I'm keeping myself apart, separating myself from mine iniquities, not yours, from the things that would confound my way. Hallelujah. Praise God. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanliness of my hands. That's that heart saying, okay, own me, take all of me. Hallelujah. He said this, with the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful, with the upright thou wilt show thyself upright, with the pure thou wilt show thyself pure, and with the froward thou wilt show thyself froward. For thou wilt save the afflicted people, but thou wilt bring down the high look. For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. Now, something starts happening. By the time he gets there, and by the time he starts worshiping, and then he says, okay, God, own me. Own me. Okay, no more excuses. I won't make an excuse for that and say, oh, that's not really something I need to change in. God, own my life. Take over my life. Something begins to stir inside of him, and he begins to see far more than he could at the beginning of the psalm. And he says this, for by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. Now he's getting ambitious. Now he's beginning to believe what he's saying. And as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those who trust in him. For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? For it is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. Hallelujah. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and he setteth me upon the high places. He teaches my hands to war, so that a bow of steel Man, this is incredible. He's ready to break. I mean, this isn't the average bow. This isn't the wooden bow. This, he says, the bow of steel is broken in my arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand has holded me up. And in thy gentleness they have made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. Hallelujah. Have you ever walked through a season where it seemed like every you couldn't hardly move, that there was a temptation here, a test there, a trial there? It was like, God, when are they going to? Then that launching into him just seems like you've enlarged my, I can't get out of your liberties. I'm inside of you, and it just feels like I'm not going to be able to escape that. This is the prophetic word of the Lord. We're entering into that right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What you've been under, you'll no longer be under anymore if you'll begin to yield to this and say yes to it. Hallelujah. I have pursued. This is what he wants you to understand. I have pursued my enemies and have overtaken them. Neither did I turn again until they were consumed. Once it starts, go into God. Once you begin to see clearly, use that occasion of liberty and dominion to go into God like you never have before. Don't wait to another season. Don't say, I'll do this later on. Go into God with everything inside of you. He says this, I have pursued my enemies, overtaken them, and neither did I turn again until they were consumed. I have wounded them that they were not able to rise. They are fallen under my feet. Thou hast girded me with strength unto battle. Thou hast subdued the enemy, subdued under me those that rose up against me. Thou hast also given the necks of my enemies, given me the necks of my enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. They cried, but there was none to save them, even unto the Lord. Get that? But he answered them not. Then did I beat them small as the dust of the wind. I did cast them out as the dirt into the street. Thou hast delivered me from the striving of the people, and thou hast made me the head of the heathen. A people whom I have not known shall serve me. Hallelujah! Now is the time, under his liberty, to begin to exercise your liberty and find a place where you just beat. Listen, how many of you would like to begin to look back and say, I don't have that trial anymore. I don't have that test anymore. You may get a brand new, you maybe get some new ones. Sometimes new ones are better than the old ones because you're like, wow, at least I got past that. My health is restored. Amen. My mind is restored. Now is to beat them sore. This is a prophetic word. And you're receiving it. But Father, right now, in Jesus' name, we take the sword of the Spirit. We cannot do this for them, but you're doing it in them. And everyone that receives this is a prophetic word to them. This Psalms 18, Father, we receive it now. Lord, we thank you that you've come over this body and over these believers and over these elders and over these sheep. And in the name of Jesus, I release the power of these words in Jesus' name. I pray that angels will be on assignment. I pray that heavens will begin to open in ways that they've never been opened before. I thank you, Lord, that positionally, standing positionally, those heavens are always open. But I pray that, God, now the reality of that to us will begin to be made manifest in the name of Jesus. Father, I curse those spirits that have come in hordes, those hordes of spirits that have come as an enemy have designed in this last season over our body to stop us and begin to try to abate what is going on in the lives of your believers. But I call them at liberty in the name of Jesus. I call them free in the name of Jesus. And I pray that what we will begin to see in this next season of our venture into revival, I pray that what we will begin to see is that victories will be won to the extent that, Lord God, that the thing that was once an idol, the one thing that stood over us and we gave homage to it, we did not desire to, but we gave it power. I pray that, Lord, in the days ahead, that we will see that those things are beaten down to such an extent that they cannot even be found anymore. That they will be beaten down to dust, Lord God, and they will be cast out into the street under the miry dust. Father, that they'll never, ever be risen up again. Those things, Father, we call them done by the victory of God. And we release the scattering of the Lord, the lightnings, the lightning bolts of God. Father, take, as we have said, take this church and flip it upside down. flip it upside down, Father. I pray that you'll shake it, Lord. And I pray that, God, the shakings of God will be in here. I pray that we will not be able to hide from your glory, but I pray that rather we will run and yield to your glory. We will not keep ourselves from our iniquities, but we'll say, God, we thank you for a covering, and his name is Jesus. We thank you for a blood, and his name is Jesus. We thank you for a refreshing and a renewal. And I pray that, God, that you'll do this in the precious name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
I woke up this morning and I did not have any intent on where we're going to go in a little while, but it's I like that. I really like it. And it just comes to you. And it's probably the best place that you can possibly be as a minister. What it does for you is it divorces you from predetermined. Like, you'll get to thinking on something, and I'll let you in on a secret. A big portion of pastors, they just preach what they've been thinking about. And that's okay if it's been promoted by God. But you got to watch that, because your intent will be in there. And you'll start seeing something and you think you're supposed to correct it. Or you think you're supposed to do something about it. And then sometimes if you don't watch it, you'll get to be God's hit man. You think somebody needs to be corrected. And the greatest freedoms as a minister that you'll ever know and enjoy is to be divorced from predetermined intentions. And so the way that you do that is when you're fasting and praying, and then when you're just praying and reading the Word and all those kinds of things, you just go into great volumes of meditation. Or if he has you camp like he's had me for the last few weeks on Psalms 18, you just stay there because you know. See, everything that you do once you're Spirit-filled, born again, Spirit-filled, is an intent to get you from A to B and then B to C and right on down the road, and it'll bless other people's lives, your walk in. So to just take the Word and open it up and say, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, I've got a real interest over there. I want to know what all of the different seals mean in the book of Revelation. That's a good study. That it really is. A lot of wonderful studies. The question is, does it have spirit and life in it? Is it your time to meditate those things? So you just meditate here and there as he wills, and then you become a steward, a library where he can come and say, okay, I think I'll pull this one off the shelf this morning or today. And that's how you prepare yourself. So you don't go, I'm preparing for a sermon. When do you prepare your sermons, Pastor? He says, right, all your life. It's usually in the blue chair on Sunday morning. Well, then do you have to start looking up those scriptures? No, those scriptures are already in there by the dozens and by the hundreds. And they're in there. So that's how you... And then he just comes and then he says, I'd like to go into that mystery. And that whole mystery appears there. And then the beautiful part about it is you're not preaching to a face in church. You can just say whatever you're saying with just absolute, like, I want them to get the message. I mean, like, I've been seeing this. I'm going to use Howard as an example. I've seen this through conversation in Howard's life, and I want to get this over to Howard. And so I'm going to pull up all these scriptures, and it's a secret message. He doesn't know it. I'm going to act like I'm talking to everybody, but I'm really trying to get at Howard. Correct him. No, the beautiful part about that is he leaves you out of it. So I woke up this morning. So I'm just advertising where we're going in a little bit, because it's really not for the faint-hearted. It's really a mature, it's a mature message. And it's for the mature, because we're going into revival. And if you zone out on me during it, chances are later the devil will take what you zoned out on and really beat you down with it. So I'd say pay attention. Because the sword that's going to heal you is the sword that'll kill you if you zone out. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's going to be out of the book of James. And I'd say, before I ever get started, all those confirmations, like by meditation. See, the teacher is the Holy Spirit, but then I'd be amiss if I didn't say that things that I'd gleaned and heard over the years and through conversations, some of my conversations with Homer, some of the work that he did through countless hours in James, and then I said, I got to look at that myself, and said, man, he really got it. And then others like Pastor Dave, and then maybe some of the things that you've said, but I had to confirm it. You know what? I'm so sure about where I'm walking that you don't have to agree with me. Isn't that amazing? Even if you come and say, I didn't agree with that. Okay. Now, let me give you a secret, and don't use it against people. You ready for this? Argumentative people with the word are really not quite as sure as they think they are. And they need to convince you of their slant so it makes them feel like I'm right. When people tell me their take on it, I say, okay. You know, if I can tell they're wanting to argue about it, okay. Okay. Well, he gave it to me. I said, well, he probably did. I don't know. I'm just, okay. If you know and you feel secure in it, you don't really have to fight about it. Hallelujah. How many would like to hear Deanne before?
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, the glory. Oh, the wonder. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. 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 Oh, the majesty of the God that we serve. Oh, the glory of the God that we serve. We praise you, Jesus. We magnify your name, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, the same God that put the stars in the sky wants to talk to me every day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, it's been proven by Christian scientists that the stars that would proclaim his coming were put there at creation. At creation. He knew exactly how he'd bring us back into fellowship before he ever created us. Hallelujah. That's the God that we serve. Hallelujah. Isn't that magnificent? Hallelujah. And he wants to talk to you. Hallelujah. Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The plan that he went through, how he made a covenant with Abraham, and then he told Isaiah to proclaim his coming, and then the virgin birth by Mary, and then the grace that he brought through Paul. Oh, the plan that he has for us. Oh, the majesty of who he is. And then to think of who he's made me, how he's crowned me with his presence. Hallelujah. Oh, who we are, that we would know who he is in his majesty, and that we would know who we are and who he's made us to reign and rule in the name of Jesus, that we would know, that we would know, that we would walk in it. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. All right. Praise God. Praise God. Turn with me to James. He actually woke me up with the latter part of 5 about Elias's prayer, but let's It's not really where he took me to. That's part of it. But then he just used that as a launching, because we're going to go back to the beginning of chapter 4 and launch from there. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you for everyone that is seated here. We are feeling the anticipation of revival and the outpouring and the coming King, the Bridegroom. I'm asking you with all my heart that the mysteries of the book of Revelation would begin to unfold in this house like never before. I pray, Father, that everything that is there for us, everything that we need to understand, everything, every part, will begin to unfold for us in a beautiful harmony of every place that we're going to be at in the launching of this revival. Father, I receive with all these the anointing of the Holy Spirit. They're receiving the anointing to hear. I'm receiving the anointing to speak and also hear. I thank you, Father. Let me glorify Jesus. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said, it's important for you to listen, because there is absolutely, there will not be a sliver of condemnation. There will not be a sliver of an intent to accuse, but an absolute liberty. And this is for the mature. But if there are those here that are beginning on their walk and you're just like, you know, I'm just trying to get to know Jesus. You know, I've got a whole lot of baggage and a lot of, you're here for a reason this morning. You're supposed to hear this. There'll be things that God will touch you with. And when I say the mature, I don't know how to qualify that except to say if you've, let's just say if you've been coming here for a year, you've been born again, you're spirit filled, you can't escape this. Hallelujah. So I know sometimes we like to find out, like, you know, this doesn't apply to me because this is way beyond me. I can just live out my days and kind of hide. But we don't want any hiding places, do we? We just want to go forward. And when I pray those prayers about God, turn this place upside down, that's not a mean prayer. I don't think you feel it is. But it's to God to arrest us and to take us out of our normal way of thinking and begin to explode inside of us the vision for an outpouring and what that looks like, what it looks like here, what it looks like around the world. God, take us out of our comfort zones and places that we say this is the way it is and that's the way it's supposed to. You begin to pray that prayer and God will turn things upside down because you pray it with sincerity. I asked the Friday night prayer group, I said, ask God for you to get as much as you possibly can. And it could be an open vision, but an inward vision will work just as well. A real picture of what the outpouring, what the renewal, what the restoration, what the prior to bridegroom coming outpouring looks like for us. And we confess all these wonderful confessions. I believe you say, well, they're not exactly the Word of God, but they are contained in the Word of God. They do not go outside of the Word. They're all encompassed in the Word of God. All of our confessions, they're there. You say, well, I gotta have Scripture on it. Really? Do you really? Or have you? Are you? Do you have a scripture to tell you what time to go to the bathroom? Do you really? Do you have a scripture that tells you what time you need to get up and go to work? Do you have a scripture that tells you when you need to eat? No, I don't, because that's silly, Pastor. Once you learn the mind of Christ and the Word of God is in you, you begin to make your confessions out of, we were talking, Gay and I were talking Friday night, it was wonderful, and she was mentioning others. We were talking about some of these prophetic prayers, and I've been praying them. Other people I've asked to come and pray. There will be times where we'll just maybe have an open mic for you to pray. But here's the thing. We've taught for years, and it is absolute truth, It is an absolute truth. We can't lose square one. You know what a danger is? A danger is when you get advanced, when the Holy Spirit begins to advance you in maturity, and you think that what you've learned now abates or negates what you learned 10 years ago. It's all built on a foundation. Don't revoke the foundation that you learned 10 years ago. Just build on it. Don't say, okay, I've learned past that. That was cheap and inexperienced. I mean, that was a baby thing there. No. You've got to learn your ABCs to begin to write poems and to begin to write, novels and begin to... You've got to learn the basics, but you never throw away the ABCs. So it's always there. But we were talking about these prophetic prayers. We've taught for years that praying the mysteries, we don't know how to pray as we ought. That's right. That's a place that we begin on every situation. We really don't know. But listen, it doesn't stay there. After you begin to pray the prayers and the mysteries, you get to a place where you know the mind of Christ. Now, you never do away with praying in tongues, but praying in tongues gives you the mind of Christ so that you can pray prophetic prayers, and it just turns the Father on. I mean, it just excites Him so much to hear mature people. And we were saying this, years ago, when we walked powerless, not that we have arrived, this is not a statement to say we have arrived. When we walked powerless, we'd pray these long, flowery prayers, and they didn't do anything. And then we learned, look, you're not praying according to the mind of Christ. You've got to be built in maturity, and you've got to be, there's too much flesh. And then God goes in and starts killing you. You say, well, I thought He was the Spirit that made it alive. He is. But the parts of you that hurt people and hurt yourself, that's the part He comes to kill. And then after all that baggage is off of you, then you begin to pray. And through the mind of Christ, which has been taught to you by the Holy Spirit through the meditation of His Word and praying those mysteries, you can step up to the plate and pray the exact mind of Christ. So those prophetic prayers that God is launching out of your life, and what I'm saying is this, you're going to find yourself oftentimes praying in tongues. Let that be, I would suggest, let that be a staple. Let it be a launching pad. But you're going to find yourself so often now praying prayers of understanding, continued prayers over the brethren. And back when we, let's say myself, was powerless, we prayed a whole lot in the understanding. And then when He brought us into more spirit, where we prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, and a lot of mortification takes place, now He has to wake us up again and say, look, pray with your understanding, because you do know the mind of Christ. You can. These prayers will get answered. And I'm thinking, wow, you mean prayer? Pray for people? And He's like, yeah, pray for people. Pray for people. Because it makes a difference. I've been seeing my prayers, just things happen in people's lives. And they're not witchcraft prayers. Oh, how can you pray a witchcraft prayer? When you start manipulating something, I try my best to just pray the will of God, which is according to the Word of God. If you're mad at somebody and you start, God, straighten them out. God, open their eyes. Well, that sounds pretty sincere. Open their eyes. Show them, Lord, how mean they are. God, I pray that, and here we go. I pray that that door will be closed. That they won't be able to function there anymore. Now, wait a minute. Whoa, whoa, whoa. You better hold off before you start figuring out what's God's will for people's lives. You better back up, Jack, and begin to say, okay, Father, I'm going to pray. Wow. Then love baptizes you through the Holy Spirit, and then you begin to pray. Those lightnings that sets them free, and then God gives them the ability to make decisions. God gives them the ability. Now, some things are very apparent. If they're destroying their lives with alcohol and drug abuse and all those kinds of things, that's sin. You know it's going to destroy them physically and spiritually. Hallelujah. But there's a launching pad here. Everybody is at 4. James, did I say James 4? Okay. Now, we're going to go through this. I know we're going to have grace for it to get it done. So look at verse 1. He says, from hence, or whence, where does it come from, these wars and fightings among you? Well, I'd have to go back from the beginning to qualify all of this, but I'm going to believe that he gives you a brief synopsis. Where do these wars and fightings come? Come they not hence even of your lust, that the war in your members. So I said he tries to come and kill us. You lust and you have not. You kill and desire to have. Now, all I can tell you is check me out. But he's really not talking about you killing somebody. He's really not saying, thank you, Homer. He's really not saying that you murdered somebody. But in your heart, there's something going on here. You desire to have and you cannot obtain. You fight and war. You have not because you ask not. See, I'm learning that I'm getting a lot of these prayers answered. He says, you ask and you receive not. We say, wait a minute, I've asked and then I'm not receiving. But why am I not receiving? He says, you're asking, but you're not receiving because you ask amiss. Well, what's amiss? He says, you're asking because you wanted to consume it on your own lust. In other words, this all profited me. And guess what? Once we're come in as a member of the body of Christ, we're all part of one body. And what works for me is supposed to be working for you, and what works for you is supposed to be working for me, and I'm supposed to be an integrated part of everything. I can't preach all the depth this morning between the factions, between really deeper and deeper into this epistle, but there was these factions that was causing these fractions, these split offs between the rich and the poor in the book of James. And much of what the church was going through was they were getting, there was an inward, even an outward debate going on between the rich and the poor and those who had and those who had not. And the lust that he's talking about here is really the lust of the world and lust of having things and those kinds of things like that. He says, you adulteress, you adulterers and adulteresses. Ooh, sorry, ladies, it includes all of us. How, he says, know ye not that the friendship of the world is an enmity with the Lord or with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy with God. But I told you it was for the mature. Now he's talking to the church. He's not talking to sinners out there, this whole thing. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain the Spirit? Now this is one of the places where I really believe, and this is the thing I heard through a prophetic thing that Pastor Dave said many years ago. Real quick. He said many years ago when he was walking around the church back when they had Saturday prayers, and he said there was grease spots on the side of the wall where people had camped out there and the back of their head was, you know, or their clothes or whatever. He said it was neat but he said back in those days they just camped out on pray all day on Saturday. And he said the little families would be there and maybe some of them be camped out. You know, they'd be like, you know, having a, you know, the kids maybe eating their snacks over there. Mom and daddies are praying in tongues. And back then they were just like tongues, and which is great. But he said one day he was walking around, and the reason why I wanted to clarify this is because there's a little S there, and I really believe it's the big S, because it says the Spirit that dwelleth in you. Your new nature is what has happened to you. That's who you are. That your new nature doesn't dwell in you per se. It is you. That's just you. This Spirit dwells within you. And the Holy Spirit is something separate. He's someone separate from you. Dave says he was walking and he said, my God, I just caught. I got the gift of interpretation over every little camp that was in there. You know, and if you've been there, it's a pretty good sized building, 400 or 500 seat. Well, he's walking around and he says he could hear what they were saying. He was hearing what they were. He said, did you know what the Holy Spirit was praying? He said the Holy Spirit on every one of those camps, every one of those people, those campsites where people were at. He said almost invariably the Holy Spirit had one thought in mind, and he was praying. He got the interpretation. He was praying that they would have a relationship with the Father as equal to and above equal to with the relationships that they were presently having with the world. And he said the Spirit was lusting. That's a strong word. It's the same word as used like lusting after a woman or lusting after in a wrong way. And this is in a positive sense. And he says that your sense of desire for the Song of Songs, the Song of Solomon, the Song of God, that your desire for the bridegroom, that your desire to change, that your desire to to do whatever is stronger than the things of this world. Hallelujah. Well, that's good. Let's keep going here. He says that he giveth more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Lord, I call myself and yourselves humble. Resist ye. He says, submit yourself, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Now, I wish we could qualify all of that. What he's talking about here is not just you saying, I resist you, Satan. He's talking about you in context with you doing what he says here. Actually submitting to not being in fellowship with the world and holding grudges against your brother. And that is really one of the biggest ways that you submit yourself unto God and you resist the devil. And guess what? He just flees under that situation. He cannot control it. Draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Wow. I know he's talking about people over on 2nd Street. Oh, no, he's talking to the church. When he's talking to these next couple chapters, I like getting these amens from Homer because I know he's not the expert in here, but I know he studied or meditated a lot, and some of you have just as much. I just haven't talked to you as much on James. Some of you probably have, and even more. But it's really neat because once you understand here that he's not talking to all this sinner stuff, this is in the church. And it's really, now let me take you a step beyond. This is not sinners like looking at Playboy magazines, drinking and getting drunk on, Saturday night and sobering up on Sunday morning so you can get to church. This is far more subtle than all that. But this is what the mature, he's cutting down to the nitty gritty. He says, draw nigh unto God and he will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joys into heaviness. This is all just repentance. God doesn't want you under depression. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. Speak not evil one of another in the church. Brethren, he that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law. Judges the law. But if thou judgest the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. And you know what? God doesn't want us following the Ten Commandments like on all the ordinances of it. What did Jesus say? If you love your brethren, if you love God, love your brethren, you have fulfilled the law. That's the essence of the law. He says, therefore, there is one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. Who art thou that judges another? Now, this is all part of the same subject because he's trying to denounce this in the church or get it out of the church. Go to now. Watch this phrase because it shows up in the next chapter, which is not a chapter, which is all a continuous letter. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Because the rich were saying, okay, I'm franchising this and I'm doing real good in Immokalee. I'm going to, you know what? They said this out of an essence of the world. This was not a God birthing, but a pride birthing. Why did he say in the earlier part of this, humble yourself? He resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. The rich were saying, hey, I'm making it hand over fist. You know what I'll do? I will go over here tomorrow. I'll start another one of these in Naples and I'll start another one. And that's good wisdom under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. But there is a world spirit, and that's the way the world functions and says, you know what, it's mine to do with. And they were taking what they had and despairing the rest of the body of Christ, divorcing themselves. They, by name, had chosen to serve Christ, but yet they had divorced themselves from the integration of the rest of the body. And there was on the other side, there was the poor saying, we don't like you. You're rich, but we don't like you either. Because we resent what you've got. Because you're not sharing it with the body of Christ. He says, go to now. And you know, here's the thing I want to say this right here. I want to interject this. Have you ever been around somebody who says, look, if I said, you know what, I think, me and somebody, we're going to go, my Uncle Ronnie's here this morning. I'm glad to see him. If I said, you know what, I'm going to go have lunch with him tomorrow. And people say, oh, wait a minute. You know, if you don't meditate the whole Word of God, you'll get a little goofy in different ways. And people say, oh, you better say, if it be the Lord's will. If you be the Lord's. That's not what he's saying. That's not what he's saying. He's not saying you to trace, you know, don't trace everything you say with if it be the Lord's will. That's not what he's saying. I can say, okay, I'm going to go, you know, we'll set up a meeting. I'm going to go there. You better say if it's the Lord's will. No. What he's saying is these men were boastful and full of pride. And I haven't read that part to you, so you don't know. But he says here, go to ye, you that say, today and tomorrow you will go into such a city and you'll continue there. I think I'll set up a business there a year, buy and sell and gain. And he says, whereas you know not what you shall... His rebuke was this, and he was not putting something of fear inside of them, but he was saying, look, depend on God. Your whole life depends on God. You don't know what is on the tomorrow. For what is your life? It's a vapor. It appears now, and it's a little time, just a little time, and it vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we will live and do this and do that. In other words, you prideful, you boasters, put your dependence back on God. And say, I'm depending on Him. If He wills that I do this, then I'm going to go do it. That's what he was saying. His rebuke was against pride. That's what it was against. He says, but now ye rejoice in your boastings, and all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And he's still continuing here. Same thing he said when he was talking about to the rich in verse 13. Go ye now, ye rich men, weep and howl, for your misery shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, he says, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and your silver, these were those in the church who had plenty and extra and were making a lot. And he says, your gold and silver is cankered, and your rust of them shall be a witness. Everybody say witness. It'll be a witness against you and shall eat your flesh as were a fire. You have heaped up treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord Sabaoth. Now, what is he saying here? He's saying this. These guys were getting rich, and they were padding their pockets, and they were making excessive, exorbitant money. And guess what? It was for them. Their IRA was getting fatter and fatter, and their bank accounts and their investments. And he said, look, the men and the people that are laboring in your fields. See, what God was saying to these guys is, I blessed you to be a blessing. I gave you blessings on top of blessings, so that you could filter it into the body of Christ. But you have hoarded it to yourself. You've watched your investments and your bank accounts get bigger and bigger, and you have denied the reapers. It wasn't the reapers as in paying them. It was the reapers as in giving to them what was necessary to carry out the ministry and reap in the field of harvest. That's what it was. It wasn't to make the clergy richer. It was to say, he said, look, you have denied the reapers what I gave you the money for. You've hoarded it for yourself. I made you rich so major portions of your wealth could go into the body. And what you've done, rich man, you've held it for yourself. And what you give on Sunday morning is a small representation, a small token to what you're keeping for yourself. And the Lord says it is, I see it as corruptible. It's cankered. It's moth-eaten. It's not of me anymore. It's not sanctified. Hallelujah. And so he says, you've lived out your days in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. You've nourished your heart as in the day of slaughter. You've condemned and killed. They didn't kill. They might say, I didn't kill anybody. No. But yes, you did in the Lord's eyes unto those that he was speaking. You've killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Be patient. Now he switches over to those who are really seeking after the revival and the outpouring. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, because these guys, if they're not patient, they can get just as much in error as those that are making all the money and won't give it up for the kingdom's sake. What he's saying basically is there's never an opportunity where you're not supposed to walk in love. You're not justified in any argument on your own. All of you that are seeking some level of maturity and saying, God, am I growing? I can give you a telltale sign. It won't come as a thundering out of heaven. You won't see an angel at the end of your bed. You might not get goosebumps and chills and thrills. You might not feel any different. But if some part of your life is progressing to a place where you find that the enemy that you're wanting to change is that you're stopping now in your life to see that it's not really your husband that's holding your victory or your wife that's holding your victory, but you're saying, Lord, change me. That is, you have just begun a walk of maturity when you begin to realize it's all about you and him and nobody else. Hallelujah. And sometimes that has to be worked at because things around you can distract you. But when you begin to see, Lord, it's all about me and you, that's the place of maturity. He says also, be patient. Establish your heart. He says, let me read seven. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit, that is our coming outpouring, the fruit of all these souls, and he's long been patient for it, until he receives it the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one another against one another, brethren, lest ye be overcome or condemned. Behold, the judge standeth at the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering and affliction and patience. Behold, we count them happy which endured. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful. He's tender in mercy. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither any oath, but let your yeas be yeas and your nays be nays, lest you fall into condemnation. And of course, like everything else, which is usually taken out of context, people say, don't swear by heaven and earth. Why did he put that in there? Why? Because he's saying, don't take an oath to try to justify yourself and say, that's not me. I'm not involved in that. This is all in context. It's all in context. He's saying, I don't need to die there. I'm not carrying any grudges. And they were swearing to the fact that whichever side you're on, they were swearing to the fact like justification. And you don't need any justification except one. And that's your yieldedness to Christ and say, God, take all of me, like that psalm was this morning. I'll die that you may live in me. Hallelujah. So he says here, above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven nor by earth. I'm not involved in those things. I'm not defrauding anybody, nor do I carry a grudge against anybody. I promise you before God Almighty. Really? Okay, just be quiet and let your yeas be yeas and your nays be nays. Hallelujah. He says, is there any among you that is afflicted? Let him pray. Is there any merry? Let him sing psalms. Now watch this, and this is very important. This is where I say it's for the very mature, and you need to hear this, else he'll beat you up over this. Is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if, everybody say if. Yeah. Say if. Yeah. Say if again. Yeah. You need to circle that because that's one of the biggest ifs there that you can possibly put in your spirit. And it needs to be a part of who you are and understanding how the Holy Spirit can speak to you. Because he says here, why in conjunction to praying over you if you're sick, he says, if he's committed sin, they shall be forgiven him. This is all in context. He's saying here, if they've committed sin, he did not say that they had committed sin, saying that all sickness is of sin. But what he's doing is he's growing up the body of Christ and saying, look, you should live so healthy. And there's been some blatant attacks against the eldership lately and people getting sick and going through things. I would say it's just blatant attacks. You know what a blatant attack is? It's for the word's sake. But what James was talking about here was those things that can get in and allow sickness to come. And that's why he said, pray over them. Let the elders pray over them. And if they've committed sin, it'll be forgiven them. And that is conjunction with them getting their healing. Now, wait a minute, Pastor. You talk about it's not of works. No, it's not of works. The moment you can believe. But listen, let me explain it this way. I remember years ago listening to Kenneth Hagin talk. Kenneth Hagin said, and remember I told you at the beginning that the sinner that he's talking about here is not, now this is the mature one, it's not the one, he's not got perversion working in his life. He's not got, you know, hidden things of darkness. But it's taking us down a road, first of all, which the biggest part of revival and great onslaughts of power come on a unified church. Not everybody always mentally thinking alike, but walking in a state of love where the Holy Spirit can sweep in and turn a place upside down. Now, as you go into that, there's a maturing that takes place. Kenneth Hagin, which was an apostle, I believe, of faith, he matured into such a place where he walked with God and sickness was so devoid of him that when he did get sick, people would start saying, pray for Brother Hagin. Pray for Brother Hagin. He needs to get healed. And Uretha, she'd always tell him, she goes, no, don't pray for him that he'll get healed. Pray for him that he'll obey God. And it was like, wow. He said, if you'd committed sin. He said this one time. I remember him testifying about himself. He said, I was called and I knew I was called. I was pastoring a church and God said, quit pastoring. And he told him when or whatever. And he said, I want you to go on the road and I want you to begin to evangelize. That's where your call is. He said, well, no, you called me. And he said, Lord, he said, you called me to pastor. He said, he argued with God. And God said, I never called you to pastor. And he said, well, no, you did. He goes, no, I never called you to pastor. I called you to the ministry and you just took off. But now I want you to go in and teach my people faith. And I want you to begin to travel and teach them faith. You know, it was a year or two and he still hadn't resigned. I don't know how long it was. And he said he was in church one day. And I don't know if he was on the platform or where he was at. And he said that he was there and all of a sudden he had a heart attack. And he said he remembered himself passing out. And the only thing he said I could have managed to do, he said I was coherent enough to get my hand over my nose so that I wouldn't bust my nose when I fell into the floor. And he said, I fell on the floor. And he said I knew my heart was stopped. He said, I knew I was having a heart attack. And he said, in that, when I was having that heart attack, God came to me. And he said, are you going to do what I ask you to do? And he said, yes, I am. You see, I don't have to tell you what God's been asking you to do. When you know it, immediately he got up. And they said, oh, God, we got to get him to the, you know. He said, no, I'm all right. I know exactly why it came. You say, God do that? Oh, no, no way. God don't make people sick. The only thing is, once you get real mature, and if, everybody say if they've committed sin, they will be healed. You know what the sin can be? Knowing to do good and doing it not. The sin can be God working with you on an area, and you say, sins of omission, once you get to a mature place, he said, no, I'm okay. Well, you want us to call the ambulance? No, I'm okay. Never had his heart was fine. Dave said one time for years, now continue to keep that word if in front of you because you can check yourself in a moment's time. He said for years he had a back problem. It was so bad. And maybe I better tell you this so you'll understand. When you're walking with God like this and you're getting more mature, and God comes to you and says, okay, my grace is on you. Give me this. It may be part of you that you've been struggling with, but now God says you're able to give it up. Or maybe something in time. I want that part of you. Will you give me this or give me that? Or will you stop that? Because that's going to destroy you. There is a grace period. My God, God is so good. But if you continue on for a good time, you know what you do? God does not move. In other words, He doesn't put anything on you. But if you're here, if God's here, and you're walking down that road, and God says, hey, little one, stop that. And guess what? He'll start saying, stop that, way, like 500 miles in front of it. But if you don't stop that, or if you don't give Him that, what you do invariably, and it may be a sin of omission, you gradually walk away and you get in darkness. I'm not looking at anything wrong. I'm not. No. Anything outside of pure light is darkness. And I'm not teaching legalism. And I'd say really, for the most part, what I've been watching is blatant attacks. But there's some reason why James put in here, if they've committed sin, they'll be forgiven and this thing will be stopped. Listen, once you get to a mature spot and you begin to ignore God, what you've done is you started going on your own now. Dave said he suffered with that back thing. I think what it was God was asking him to do something in the ministry, to start something he didn't really want to start. And God had put it in his heart for like, I don't know how long. It had been there for years. He said, I would go to hospital, or I would go to, I'd have to preach. And I remember him saying, my lower back was hurting so bad I could hardly walk. And he said he would take, he'd go into hotel rooms, and he had this whole thing. he said like he would have, I guess whoever, you know, one of the boys that would stay with him, he said, I would take a towel, wrap it around my feet, and then like pull a chair down, tie that. I know what he was saying. He would cantilever the chair out where that he could tie the towel on it, and then he'd have them pull back up and sit in the chair where it could stretch his whole lower back out. So he was actually going through a stretching process, and it worked pretty good. He said that he was in that, like that terrible state for a number of years, and I'm thinking right now, that was one place that God healed him of, but I'm thinking now, and I think the Holy Spirit's reminding me that wasn't the instance. So the Holy Spirit's getting it right, as He always does. He had a growth right here that had come up on him. And that growth was really, you know, it was a bad spot and it was hurting him there. And something the Lord had been asking him to do, and he'd just kind of been ignoring it. Whatever it was, that's between him and God. He said, I was stepping down off the stage one day and God said, are you going to obey me in what I've been asking you to do? And something inside of him snapped and said, yes, Lord. And that thing disappeared. It was gone. Now, you got to get it in your heart. You got to understand, God does not cause sickness. But if you hear something from Him, He may be asking you, look, change that in your life. The way you're doing that, it's going to mess you up. Give me more of that. For them and there, He was saying, look, if you're holding a grudge in your heart, and I've watched Christians listen. I know that at times they've heard from God, and I've watched mature Christians that I've given the Word of God to, and I knew it was a sure word, and watched them go on for a couple of years, ignore that word, and guess what? God did not put sickness, but I've seen the transgression turn into sickness to a point to where it began to destroy their bodies. And it was not something that was going to send them to hell. It was not something that divorced them from their father. It's just that here's the light. And if you start going over here and He's saying to you, and guess what? If I were to ask you, all of what we're talking about right now is none of your stuff. It's none of your stuff. It's none of your business. Okay? It's between you and God. That's really cool. I love that. But here's the thing. The more you walk into Him, and more the church goes into Him, He wants us to get healthy and wealthy and wise. And I believe there's been some blatant attacks. They just come by the Word's sake. But He says this, and pray, He says, in the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he's committed sin, why did He put that in there? Because of everything I just explained. He says those sins will be forgiven. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another. That's all in context with the grudge. Listen, Pastor, I want to stand up and confess my faults. You're not allowed. I don't want to hear them. Please. That's not what he's talking about. Well, I did this when I was 16 years old and I did that. No. Please. If your sin has something to do with somebody that you've been holding a grudge against, and you know that communication is the best offer, then that's fine. Guess what? If you can get past, I can tell you this, according to the Word of God, if you can get past your grudge with me and not tell me that you had one, that's even better. I've had people come up and tell me, and I thought we were great, come up and say, I'm not mad at you anymore. I was like, oh, God. I want you to know, Pastor, I have forgiven you. And I'm thinking, oh, God. I didn't even know I had done anything. My God. And now you've opened up another door. Because now I got to figure out what I did. The highest realm of deliverance and forgiveness is to say, wow, it's just gone in me. And they don't never need to know. And by the way, you know this, but I'll go ahead and tell you. I've had people tell me, and mature people, and they needed to tell me, because if they know that there's a little lamb, if there's a little lamb that needs help, then sometimes people say, you know, Pastor, somebody's having a real struggle with, I know you didn't mean to do that, or it's not been, I know your heart. And I'd say, perfect, thanks for the information. I'll call them, I'll see them, I'll do whatever. But just for you to tell other people, you know what? I'm your best friend, and I heard them say some things. If you're their best friend, don't tell them what you heard. Conceal the matter. The Word says, and I think it's in Psalms or Proverbs, blessed is he that concealeth. You know, conceal things. I just don't want to hear it, really. You could do me a great blessing by just not even, unless my maturity will heal them, and you figure on that. But just to tell me about what you heard, that doesn't help anything. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. He says this, confess your faults. And he says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman availeth much. Guess what? We are coming into a season, and you're already there, many of you. You've got to know, don't take this out of context. I'm not saying don't pray in the Holy Ghost anymore. Pray more than you ever have. But trust, now God is saying, I think as an ambassador, I can say to you, and many of you already know this and have known it for a long time, you can trust your prayers of intercession, your prayer of understanding, because now they're pure-hearted. Now they are of the mind of Christ. Pray these prayers. Get lost. Let the Holy Spirit get you lost in praying for the flock and praying for your pastor and praying for the elders and praying. You're now equipped to pray the mind of Christ because you have allowed yourself to be judged. And by the way, you don't have to go into, we call them witch hunts, where if you get sick, listen, you already know. You know, most things that you already know. You don't have to discover. I've been ignoring God for a long time in that way. You know, I don't know why, you know, but I'm just, God's been telling me. Now, you want me to get real nitpicky? You know, okay, here's nitpicky, but I don't want to get legalistic, but I can tell you, like, because I want you to get it out of the mindset like you're doing something horrid and like God's mad at you. God's not mad at you. But it's just that a sin of omission, in other words, you doing something, like say for instance, if you were a junk food junkie and you were supporting Burger King. Not, you know, not just once a week or, you know, once. I'm just saying you lived off of that stuff. And God began to whisper, you're going to have problems with that. You're going to have high blood pressure, sugar diabetes. You're going to have all this. You need to stop. And he'll first gently do it. And then you go on it for about a year and you start getting, and you can't imagine. And you come to Grace Lines and you just say, God, it hurts here and it hurts there and it hurts there. And my, this is up and that's down and everything's. And then you walk out and you say, man, praise God, Pastor prayed for me. And the Holy Spirit, and you're like, you're the first one for breakfast in the morning. And I'm talking about, let me use exaggerations because it's okay. It's perfectly okay to go to Burger King. But then you go in there and you're like constantly there. Or if it's not Burger King, you know, it's like, you know, pizza on Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night. And it's like, well, we don't have the money, Pastor. Listen, God is your supply. And he will turn around because, believe me, he wants you to live a healthy life. If you start hearing those things and you walk away from them and he keeps saying them, keeps saying, look, men have died. People have died. You know, people will die sometimes and people say, that was a good guy. I just don't understand stuff like that. I mean, they loved the Lord. Yes, they did. They were full of the word. Yes, they did. How about people that God tells that had a heart attack? What if he told them 4 or 5 years before, start walking a mile a day? You know why he says that? He knows the possible thing that's coming. Start doing that. And they hear it so much that they know. If I said to you today, what's God saying to you about your personal life? That's not my business. But all of us have inscripted in us things that we hear from God. Now, we can pass it off and say, that's not God. But sometimes people will, you know, some things will happen. We hear about people in countries that are, you know, some are martyred. And some Christians, Lord, you know, they die for really, truly die for their faith. But what about the Christians who God said, don't go over there? Don't go over there. And then they're killed, murdered, or done something. And people, see, we won't know those things and we won't care about them over there. But a lot of times, there's an answer for everything. God never failed. He never failed. And so he says, don't go there. You know, a couple times a week will be fine, but don't eat that. Don't eat greasy food every night. Don't, and so you do that. You know what that's doing? That is not a sin. That's not a moral sin. It's not a moral sin. You're not hurting anybody. That is against the truth. And so this is what he's saying here, is that you can walk devoid of what you're hearing. And when you do that, you get into these places. He said Elijah was a man subject to like passion as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth for a space of 3 years and 6 months. Can you imagine, and I believe this is where we're coming to, is that we're going to have such a mind of Christ that what we pronounce, you know why Elijah could do that? Because that was not his agenda. That was not his agenda. I'm mad at you, so I'm going to pray this prayer. No, he was speaking by a vessel of the Lord. And he says, and he prayed again. God told him to pray again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you, now listen to this as we close, if any of you, any of us, any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, erring from the truth and one convert him, let him know, let that man that converts know this, that he which converteth the sinner. Oh, the one on the street? No, we're in the church. This is all about the church. That converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul. The soul is not the pneuma, it's the psuche, which is the soul, from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. You see them going off. You see them erring in the way they're thinking. The conversion, this conversion is not, he said, if a man see his brother erring, in other words, he's his brother. This is not me going and getting somebody off the street. He's erring because he's got a grudge or because he's listening to false spirits. You should pray, God. Now listen, you can't do it except the Holy Spirit leads you. Because if you do, you're just going to get in an argument and make them mad because they can't see it until he. But if you convert them back like, wow, wait a minute. You're thinking wrong. This is not good thinking. This is going to take you away from what we've been learning, not what pastor's been teaching, but pastor's been hearing from God. But you're going off into your own sphere of influence and your thought processes. This is not good. He says, if you see that, and that is given, obviously, because he said, if you see that, they're in error. They're erring. Their thought process is erring. If you convert them back, if God gives you the wisdom through prayer and through friendship and through saying, look, convert, come back to ground zero. Think like the Holy Spirit has taught us to think. He said, you're going to save them from death. You're going to say, and then not necessarily that they're going to hell. You're going to save them from a boatload of destruction, a boatload of destruction. Isn't this a mature message? Isn't it straight to the heart? It puts us in a place of accountability, but not in a place where we're paranoid towards ourselves or each other, because that big if is there. That if is there to say, okay, God, search me. Sometimes I'll just know, you know, most of the time I just know. But there are still times where things will come and, you know, it's just like, okay, it takes me about, you can't even measure thought because thought is so quick. But you just look up and you say, okay, no, there's nothing. There's just nothing. But if I knew that there was something that he'd been saying, like, you know, you need to, I've been asking you to start that ministry for over a year. And then I get a prick in my heart. It's like, whoa. Immediately when I looked up, I heard that thought came to mind. Or I need to stop that. Well, then guess what? I may be stepping over out of his light where the enemy comes and he attaches something to me. But guess what? I can step back over here and I can have you pray for me, or I can pray for myself and say, okay, God, first of all, the first place is, Lord, forgive me. I've been hearing you. I'm going to own up to it. I've been hearing you. I ask you to forgive me. And Lord, I just receive your healing, and I just walk in the fullness of that. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Father, we just love you this morning. Hallelujah. You're so wonderful. And Lord, I pray this word will go deep, 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 deep. We heard from the very beginning a pronouncement by the trump of God, which I believe it was. And I ask you, Father, I'm so desirous, and I know there are other men here and there are other women here that have a prophetic word on their hearts. I pray that we will hear these prayers in the days ahead. We'll hear the wisdom in the streets and in the gates. I pray that, Father, that you will put these men and women behind this pulpit and on this stage and in our lives. And I pray, Lord, for, Lord, we commonly talk about in jest the parking lot prophets, but I pray that in truth that there will be parking lot prophets in this house, that there will be those coming and going, and they will be speaking the word as they come and as they go. Father, I realize that I am not the only elder here, and I am not the only one who has truth abiding in me. Father, I thank you. I pray that men and women will come to the fullness, and they will see the truth, and they will find the truth, and they will buy the truth, and they will sell it not. And I pray that, Father, that as we go forth, and Lord, I'm just going to make mention of this, I'm saying this, that they understand. Lord, I pray over our offering today. Would you agree with me right now? Father, I thank you that you supply and meet all of our needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And I pray that, Lord, that you'll touch our hearts by your Holy Spirit. And I say, Immokalee is saved. Hallelujah. Immokalee is saved. Praise God. I'm anticipating a revival, a great revival. The blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, dumb speak, dead are raised. Do you know what that's going to do? That's going to change your life. I don't know what, you know, it's just going to be amazing. It's just going to be absolutely, utterly amazing how that's going to take place.